I'm going to call together the regular meeting of the Board of Education for St. Charles Community Unit School District 303. Mrs. Ratchford, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Mrs. Perrott?
Here.
Mr. Sperling?
Here.
Mrs. Yule?
Here. We're all here. Would you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you all for coming. I think we have a nice long meeting today because I'm sure nobody has anything else they'd rather be doing at 7:30 tonight. There isn't that much on the agenda, but we do have citizen comments today. There are six. Ms. Pira, would you read the statement? Yeah, as we have seated, please.
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personal matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you. Our first citizen comment today is from Charlotte Norgard. Welcome.
Good evening. I'm back. I don't want to be back. But I felt compelled to come here tonight to address the plans that haven't been proposed, but are on the table for upgrading the middle schools. I don't have any issue with upgrading the middle schools. I know it needs to be done. It's not here what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the interim, what happens to the kids that are in the middle schools now that will not benefit from the upgrades, and will be asked to sacrifice some again for a second time to the benefit of kids that come after them. If you don't know, my daughter and her classmates, my daughter's a seventh grader at Thompson, and a good percentage of her classmates started out elementary school as Davis Dragons and Richmond Roadrunners. And midway through, were said, no, I think we have a better idea. You're going to be Davis Richmond Tigers because you're going to sacrifice to the benefit of kids that come after you. Now, my daughter is going to be in eighth grade next year, and she has already been told by her teachers that next year she will be spending her final year as a Thompson Titan at Haynes. She loves being a Thompson Titan. She finally got that identity that was taken away from her in elementary school. And those kids have already sacrificed. You're asking them to sacrifice a second time. I've heard it said that parents in this district only care about where their kids go to middle school and high school, but I've talked to a lot of parents who actually have kids in middle school now, and I can tell you they care. And the reason why you're probably not going to see many people from our neighborhood come forward is because we're exhausted. I'm exhausted. The parents are exhausted. They think you don't care what our neighborhood thinks. We're tired, and we feel powerless. And I can say that the only way that we can exert our power is at the voting box. And if you continue to not listen to us, if you don't hear our pleas, we're never going to vote for a referendum in this district. I'm not saying don't do the upgrades. I'm saying give these kids a break. They've already sacrificed, not these kids. I know I've served on the steering committee for the Davis-Richmond School Improvement Plan. I know when we put our heads together, we can come up with a better plan. There is a better plan. I know it. Please just don't do it to these kids again. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Shannon Sullivan.
Hello. I actually was going to pen out some notes, and then I'm like, that seems so terrible. So I don't even really know what I want to say other than I love D303, great schools, love faculty, Haynes, Pearson, great people. What is always so tiring and mentally exhausting, as Charlotte just said, is just the stress and always the uncertainty and the unknown of what is next. So we go through all these shenanigans and meetings and this and that to do nothing, to save money, to do nothing. We come back. I understand something needs to be done with the middle schools. And maybe the plan that you have on the table is the right plan. I wouldn't know that because you haven't shared it with the public yet. So that's really my number one here. So you kind of bring this on yourself when you're going to do some type of vote tonight. I'm not even exactly sure, like, the whole what's happening. But I know that it's the first part of what's yet to come. I mean, clearly, this just can't be it. You have to have more to bring it all together. So, and then you're going to host community meetings, I believe, the 20th, the 24th, and 25th after the fact, which really makes people in the district feel insignificant. I mean, clearly you listen to someone because when the whole elementary thing happened, you didn't do that. I'm not really sure how or why, but it's just exhausting. You know, we've actually, I think I told Chris when I came in, I'm like, there's a lot of places I could go live, pay good tax dollars, get a good education for my kids that would be a lot less stressful. I'm in Thornwood, so I'm in that community that could go either way. You can shift me that way. I don't even have to move to feel like I've moved because depending on what's happening, you know. So I understand that sacrifices have to be made and things need to be done to address our current issues, but I do have issue with the lack of transparency sometimes, and I really have issue with you guys doing this vote and you haven't held the community meetings because it's really then saying, what's the point? So I do look forward to seeing the plan, and I'm actually going to meet with Jim tomorrow. We're going to go over some other questions that we came up with in the community, so to maybe help clear. I don't even really know what to ask of you other than, can you be more mindful of just the mental stress that you put upon the community and the kids? It's the kids, it's the teachers. It translates, you know, they're worried about their jobs. They do a fantastic job regardless trying to teach our children, but it's, you know, it's a lot of burden on them, and it's a lot of burden on us, and it's tiring. So, anyways, I'd like to see a good plan put forward and feel like you're really listening. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Joe Blomquist, an SCEA update. Good evening, Joe.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Joe Blomquist, SCEA president. I'm here on the 31st day of school to give you an update and share the key objectives of the Teachers Association that we're focusing on this year. We are knee-deep in implementing the Performance Education Reform Act, which requires us to incorporate student growth into our evaluation system. I will admit it's a lot of time and a lot of energy. We are hopeful that as we continue to work out the kinks that we are going to make this very beneficial to our students, for our teachers, in having the data conversations so that we can continue to improve the education that our students receive. We are also learning a lot about our students, in particular the needs that they have and impacts that happen outside the classroom. We are learning a lot about adverse childhood experiences and how we can help students overcome these challenges through stability and resilience in the schools. Keep your eyes and ears out for a future screening of a documentary called Paper Tigers, which we're hoping to bring here to our district in the near future. And finally, we have sweated our way through our middle school facilities, both literally and figuratively. I assure you that our conversations continue to be focused around all of our number one priorities, and that's the students. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Joe. Next is Christine Perry.
Do I have that right?
Penny Perry? Just a second. It's Perry?
It's Perry,
thank
yes.
You.
I guess the main reason I'm here is a little aggravated that I have to hear what's going to go on through the middle schools, through the paper, and what we as citizens can do to stop you from doing this until you educate the public as far as what your plans are. A lot of people in this room don't know that the only way to stop you is to get a petition signed. We have to hear that from the Daily Herald. We don't hear that from you. You guys didn't consider us at all when you were coming up with these plans or educate us enough to know what you were doing. We had to hear most of it from the paper. And whether the paper is true or not, I don't know. I don't know what to believe at this point. But you need to take into consideration the people that live in this community, that have students that go to this district, that we should have a say in what the future holds for the middle school. You proposed about doing a new middle school. I don't know why that's not on the board anymore. Why are we putting a Band-Aid on an issue when 5-6 years from now, you know, we could be running into the same problem again where we need to upgrade the middle schools and we need to do this and do that? We got to start thinking of the kids and our future instead of what is easiest to do at this point. Like I said, a lot of these people out here don't know. The only way to stop you, and so we are informed, is to do a petition. So if any of you are interested, I have that legal motion going forward so that we do have a right in voting. I mean, that's what this whole country is about. We should have a right how you're using our tax dollars and how you educate our kids. We do have a right in what that should be done. So anybody interested can see me after the meeting. I will give you all the information as far as the petition goes. And I hope you really consider, next time you decide to do this, that maybe you should hold the forums and educate the people instead of making the decision to do what you're going to do without informing the public. I find it very distasteful because no one knows what's going on, and especially the kids don't know. All they're hearing are rumors. So you got to start with the kids and work with the parents, and maybe we come together as a community and figure out the right thing to do, instead of just jumping to the easiest thing to do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next is Samantha Tubekis. I'm sorry, how would you pronounce that?
Tubekis. Good evening. Unlike Shannon, I have my remarks written out because I'm not such a natural impromptu speaker, but I'd like to share my concerns and questions with you as to how the board has come to the point of making such a momentous, impactful decision about our middle schools. Last year, the board came to us and explained that we were in dire need of cutting costs due to possible state funding issues. 4 different options were offered, with the closure of elementary schools being the quickest and most direct means of saving money. Rather than voting to do that, the board took the community's input at that point and voted for option 4, to do nothing. Fast forward several months, we're being presented with a full-fledged plan formed with little to no community input or involvement, which has the district spending $50 million to improve Thompson and Redling and close Haynes. We're told the closure of Haynes Middle School will save us over $2 million a year. How does this in any way make sense? This seems to be little more than a spend-to-save scenario that will take years to result in significant savings to our district. Meanwhile, the impact of this choice on the students, staff, and families of the community will be hugely significant. You'll be closing the district's only blue-ribbon middle school during a time when park scores are down district-wide. An incredible burden will be placed on the teachers and students at Haynes during the transition and the Thompson construction period. Is the school even able to accommodate that many children safely without compromising their educational experience? For that matter, is having only 2 middle schools the best educational decision? Students moving from elementary schools will be faced with high school-sized middle schools during what will be their biggest educational shift. What will happen if there are unforeseen costs during this process? Could the money not be used instead to update the most crucial needs at Thompson and Haynes? Last week, members of the community from all areas of the district gathered to share their questions and concerns about this plan. Dozens of questions were raised, including many that I just mentioned, in categories like health and safety, quality of education, mental health, finance, logistics, and more. The community does care and wants to give input into decisions which affect us all. We desire answers to these questions, and we would like the board to slow down and take the time to get that input before making changes. Why the fire? Why must this be pushed through so quickly and abruptly? Why has the notion of building a new middle school on the west side of town that would better meet the needs of the community completely been abandoned? Are we really in dire need of cutting immediate costs, or are we in a strong enough position to spend $50 million on a middle school plan? I feel like mixed messages are being sent, and I feel that the community deserves some answers. Thank you.
Thank you. The last citizen comment is Carolyn Wabel.
Good evening, everyone. I believe we've met before. My name is Carolyn Wabel. First of all, excuse the appearance. I was not planning on speaking tonight, so... thank you for your time. I first off want to just thank you for your time on the board here as a fellow appointed official here in St. Charles. I understand the thankless job of donating your time on boards when there's a lot of critical feedback in the community. But I first want to also say that it is our duty, as I said last time when I spoke to you, that it is our duty and our privilege to represent the people in which we have been elected or appointed to represent. So by saying that, I just want to say that the group of people in which we represent, yes, are the people of St. Charles, but mostly the kids, and that is who we're here advocating for tonight. And to mirror what everyone has said is that, I'm just speaking from the heart today, is that the whole concept of slowing down and talking to the public is about the kids. So what the concern is out there and what kind of prompted us to get a group of citizens together to talk about what the concerns are is that everyone felt that it was moving too fast, it's moving too swiftly, we're uneducated on what's going on. And what we talked about is it's very possible that the processes in which you're making decisions based on are the right decisions. The processes you're going through could be the very exact thing that we need to do. But as everyone has mentioned and what Charlotte has mentioned and Shannon is that we don't know. We're unaware as a population of 12,000 students and all the parents attached to those students. So you're representing 12,000 kids who are potentially shuffling around from school to school and dealing with the anxiety of that. And we addressed that as well last time. And in that shuffling, we are not sure if that is the right decision because we don't have the information. So as parents, we are the ones dealing with the backlash of our students and the teachers and the principals and the administration. And they're going to be the ones dealing with, thank you, the overspill of what is happening with them. So I want to, again, say, please, let's come together as a community and let's talk about what is the actual process. And one of the questions that we are going to talk to Jim tomorrow about is what is the strategic plan, the long-term plans that you guys have made, and maybe explain that to the community, and that will help us understand why our kids would go through changes and what is the purpose of that, and that could help offset the true, you know, potential downside of what these kids are going to be going through. And with that being said, I just want to say one last thing before I wrap up, is just that this community group came together truly to collaborate with you as a group, to help understand and be partnered with you, not as an adversarial group. So we really do want to partner with you and understand what your process is. So we hope that you welcome us tomorrow with open arms and understand that when we meet with your group tomorrow. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that concludes citizen comments. Next on the agenda is the superintendent's report. Dr. Schulman.
So always tonight is a fun event to announce our National Merit semifinalists, and so we have four individuals, I believe, with us tonight, and the principals are here as well. So from North, we have Ryan Fahey. I'll probably mess up a name here, so I apologize. Ryan Fahey, is that right? And Kira Nutter, is that right? Kira? Is Kira right? Okay. And Nicole Palmer. Thanks for having easy names for me, guys. So you want to stand up, one, so the board can see who you are, and then tell us a little bit about yourself and what your plans are. So each of you want to... Nicole's going first, so she stood out.
All right, well, my name is Nicole Palmer. I am looking at least next year to be going into pre-med.
Somebody prepped you, said I was going to ask about your parents. All right, and so you don't know where?
Not quite.
Where do you want to go?
I have a few listed, Brown University and Case Western, but I'd like more to follow that.
All right, so Brown or Case Western, either one of those. So great. Congratulations to you, and thank you for introducing your parents and mom and dad. Thank you very well.
Thank you.
All right, and then we'll go backwards. Kira, you want to stand up? Kira, you want to stand up? And
sure.
Hopefully you got the same prep.
Well, I'm Kira Nutter, and I'm planning on being in theater next year. And these are my parents, Christy and Michael. In terms of college, my top college of choice is Carnegie Mellon right now. I'm also looking at Yale and Northwestern.
Excellent. So thank you very much. And congratulations to Mom and Dad as well. Ryan?
I'm Ryan. This is my dad, Pat, and my mom, Leah. I'm thinking about majoring in business. I don't specifically know what yet. I'm leaning towards statistics.
So. And where at?
My top three right now are University of Oklahoma, Arizona, and Alabama.
I'm really looking for a Wisconsin in here somewhere. All right. And at East, Alan Colball. Is that right?
Yeah.
Alan? Man, you're tall,
hi.
Dude. All
right.
Hi.
My mom, Julie. I'm looking to go into a computational science or mathematics, computer science, somewhere in that field. My top schools right now are Rice University, University of Minnesota, MIT, and Stanford.
Couldn't have thrown a Wisconsin in there.
That's all over the place. South, North, private.
All right. Well, congratulations. Thank you for it.
Thank you.
Thanks to Mom and Dad. Thanks also to Charlie and Audra and the staff for your work with these students. It's kind of special. We had a lot of students recognized this year. Mrs. Huell was just remarking to me about how many we had. Warmer, do you have any questions?
I have a comment for Kira. I'm a former theater major as well, and it is going to serve you well once you graduate. Be surprised on the different paths that major will take you on, besides the stage.
Maybe become a politician.
Never say never.
Any other questions?
I have just one comment. For somebody who's going to pre-med, I'd like to recommend that Benedictine University is a fine.
All right. Well, thanks again, and this is a chance for you to slide out if you want to with Mom and Dad, so that I'm sure you can go home and do homework or do something else. So thanks again. Congratulations to all of you. So. This is really a fun time, and while we recognize those that are semifinalists, there was a lot of students that were recognized as well by National Merit that we don't have, and I think you've got a list of those, or board members, I think we sent you a list of all the others that were out there as well, so it's really kind of fun to have that process here, and it seems to have been growing. I want to point out that Dr. Pearson, one of the ways you get to be a National Merit semifinalist is you have to take the PSAT. Where's Dr. Right? Yeah, you have to. And so one of the things that we've done now is that every student, I think, takes the PSAT. Right. So that's the way that they get these. And so more and more scholarships are coming through that process. And so that's really a good thing to have that. So thank you for that as well. That concludes the superintendent's report tonight. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dr. Solomon. Dr. Solomon was going to speak about this, but I said that somebody should speak to this topic, which has come up big time at the meeting here today. But everyone should know that the board is very interested in your comments, and we're very interested in what people have to say. But we're also really interested that people get all the information first. To that end, this has been a long process. It's already been going on for a year and a half as the board makes a decision here or delays something. It's been a process leading us to where we are now, which is an administration proposal in the works. And to be honest, the board hasn't seen the whole proposal yet. At this point, Dr. Schloman went and spoke to all the staffs at the middle schools first, because they were the most involved, and then all the elementaries and high schools, I believe, also the high schools.
Haven't quite completed.
Oh, not well.
But close.
With that said, there have been dozens and dozens and dozens of meetings, whether they were for the community over the last year and a half or at the schools, and we're always working toward that best decision. That said, there are three more important presentations, which will be October 20th at Haynes Middle School, October 24th at Redling Middle School, and October 25th at Thompson Middle School. I think those are all at 7. And they've been, once the school presentations were done, these have been on the books for a while. At this point, the board will start, board members intend to be at those meetings, and we will start to hear, actually, the administration's full proposal. I think a lot of us know a lot of parts of it, but there are many things that we don't know, and there are a lot of questions that we have, just as you do. So this is a good time for all of us to get this information, and we'll be very interested in the questions and the answers at those meetings. So the board highly encourages anybody that's interested to come to those meetings. You don't have to be from that particular middle school to go to that meeting, but we're very interested in completing this process, just as we've been doing for a year and a half. Additionally, on November 3rd at Thompson Middle School, at 7:30, the board will have a special meeting, at which time the superintendent will formally make his presentation to the board. This is after all the gathering, the plans that have been made by administration, the gathering of information at the school presentations, the staffs, and the community presentations, in addition to everything else we've been looking at for a year. So all that put together will be put into a formal board presentation, a presentation to the board, which will be what people have heard, plus a lot more detail that people don't usually, might not have heard in their own meetings just because it's detailed. But those are the details that the board will be interested in also. So my point in saying all this is that we hope that you come to these meetings and really learn about this. This is just a process. In an instantaneous society, we can't just send out an email or something and expect everybody to have read it and to have understood it. So this is a great opportunity for everyone. And we ask that you come and have your questions answered, and that you can certainly start to contact board members if you would wish. But please come and hear the presentation, hear the questions, hear the answers, see the real data before you make a judgment. And whether you judge that you want to make a petition before you've even heard the problem, that's okay, but not the problem, but the issue. But please come to the meetings and hear all the information first, and please get your questions answered first. There is a lot of opportunity coming up. So the good part is that everybody's yearning for information, and here are four great opportunities coming up. I'll just repeat, October 20th, 24th, and 25th, and then November 3rd for the formal presentation at Thompson. At that point, the board will be making another vote a week and a half later at our regular board meeting. That said,
can I just add one thing, and that is that I know that there was some implication that we learned about this through the paper. Actually, we used the paper as our vehicle to communicate that, so we actually called them in and spent, I think Jim and I spent an hour and a half with the newspaper, both the Daily Herald and the Chronicle. Unfortunately, the Chronicle is a weekly, essentially, right now, and so it doesn't get out as timely. But we used both of those as a vehicle to communicate this so that people did have a chance to understand kind of the implications and what was going on with that. So that's part of our communication strategy with the community, was to use the newspapers in that way.
Thank you. Next items on for action items. A is the
committee reports.
First. Oh, I'm sorry, committee reports. Yes, committee reports. I know that business services has met.
Shall I start?
Yes.
Okay. We did, in fact, meet on September 29th, and we had a lot of items for discussion. We heard the near financial report for D303, and that's in the packet for information, as well as the August 31st financial report for Mid-Valley and D303. Then Mr. Moore presented the committee with an update on the district's health insurance plan and recommended a change to the dental plan. We'll be switching to MetLife, which is on for action. And that represents cost savings to the district as well. I don't remember the exact number, but it is a cost savings.
Mm-hmm. It was considerable.
Yes, if I recall. The next item we talked about was robots for autism, Milo. There's some assistance to the curriculum for our students with autism, and I think we're all kind of excited to hear some the feedback that comes from that, and so we're excited about that. That's on for consent. The next item, item F, was the Redlands Middle School construction, the Norris Rec Center alternates. Mr. Chapman brought to us the work form for ATSNR, and I'm just going to kind of highlight it. We can talk about it in the action item, but it is for Redlands only, and those are improvements to the cafeteria as well as the science labs. They're things that we need to do anyways. And they don't impact anything, regardless of the outcome of Thompson and Haynes. So that's a good thing, as well as the Norris Rec Center alternates. This is not part of that $50 million plan. This is something that the district's put off for 6 years plus, going back to the mold and the racquetball courts and some other work that's been needed there for many years. And so it made sense to package it together with Redlands and hopefully see some cost savings there. And again, that's just an alternate for us to either accept or decline. And that's on for action. Then Bob Lewis presented from PMA, gave us a presentation on the non-referendum bond options and gave us some different alternatives and things for us to think about as we go forward and hear more about the middle schools and what we decide to do. Then our next item was our yearly tax levy implication. And Mr. Chapman again discussed the kind of beginnings of that, and we'll start moving the process on that. And then lastly, Mr. Chapman also gave us an update on the Property Tax Appeal Board. It's something that we work with the other government agencies in the area to people challenge their taxes. We work on coming up with a settlement on there, and so we got an update on that. And that's it.
That's it, but it was a long meeting.
It was a long meeting. It was a very productive meeting.
Thank you very much. I know that Learning and Teaching meets next Monday.
Next Monday, 5 o'clock, and for next Monday we have on AP and ACT 2016. For ACT, it's going to be data for juniors as well as the graduating class. We were going to do park data, but apparently the state has not released the park data for all schools yet, and for our comparable schools, we're not going to be able to do too much if they don't have their data, so that's going to be moved to November. We did meet, however, in this past month, and I have a voluminous report here. To start out, we had at the recognitions, we had Seal of Biliteracy Awards for high proficiency in reading, writing, listening, and speaking in a foreign language. We had 27, district-wide 27 in Spanish and 2 in Latin, which I like to see. I'm glad Latin is still being taught. Commendation Awards toward Biliteracy Award, and there were 15 of those in Spanish and 1 in German. So those were some nice things to pats on the back for the district. Dr. Melissa Byrne gave the Academically Talented and Infinity update. Talked about the identification process. We're looking at numbers in the top 5% for Academically Talented and top 2%, I believe, for AT. I'm for Infinity. And there was some discussion, given the dropping numbers in the district, there was some discussion about possibly looking at changing those percentages, and that's not been fully vetted yet. Currently, we have 396 students participating in the AT and 71 total participating in Infinity, 24, 22, 25, and 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, respectively, if I got those numbers right. And I'll have to apologize. I think the notebook that I took the numbers on are in my son's locker at Thompson. So I think he grabbed the wrong notebook this morning. The early childhood program update. We have current sites of Davis Primary, Ferson Creek, Fox Ridge, and Norton Creek elementaries. We have a total overall of about 230 students, 111 in community, preschool for all, 40, early childhood special ed, 52, and instructional early childhood special ed, 22. But there is a wait list for both the preschool for all and the community preschool of about 40 people. Megan Markchin, I hope I said that right. gave us the instructional technology update. We're looking to provide technology-based experience and education to all grade levels, where our hope is to ultimately go to one-to-one. We're implementing programs district-wide, billing level. We're doing Google certifications, bringing the teachers up to speed on designing digital learning lessons. We're currently at one-to-one, if I have that correct, on middle school for Chromebooks. We have a grant to raise high school ratio for Chromebooks. We're going to implement in 100 classrooms, if I have that correct. 100 classrooms. 100, and how did I put that?
100 teachers.
100 teachers with immediate access. So it's not enough. And with SIP and building supports, school improvement plan, building supports, and again, prep for one-to-one. Technological advancement supports for the elementary level. We have the iPads. The Genius Hour and Makerspace are being implemented now. The focus is to, again, bring everyone throughout the district to a one-to-one ratio. I tried to make it as quick as I could.
Very informative.
All right.
Thank you.
I think I'm done.
I don't think community relations hasn't met.
We're going to be meeting October 17th.
That's going to be right after LMT.
What was it? Okay. Policy?
Yeah. Oh, housing.
Oh, that was policy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wrote down community relations. Okay. And community relations?
October 17th.
Policy got moved to November.
Oh, we're just, okay. Okay, so no policy. Any other meetings that anyone attended?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes, housing commission.
Housing. We met on September 29th, and as you know, we have been, the housing commission has been grappling about what to do with affordable housing, and we have finally consolidated into two programs, which will be passed out of our committee. And we'll be going into the council for approval. I think you'll enjoy hearing about both of them. The first is going to be a single-family rehab program given to our seniors. It's basically a granting program so that our seniors can afford to live in place with universal design aspects, ramps, simply accommodation for our seniors. The grant would be given at no interest rate and payable upon sale of the home. So they would be constantly replenishing the pool. And this would also be worked with the county, who has something very similar to this. So in both cases, we're partnering with an existing program that's in place, simply enhancing it, and we're going to be doing marketing for this. We know that there's a great need for our seniors to have affordable housing and housing that they can stay in place for as long as possible. The other one, which would be affecting possible population growth in our community, is to do a down payment assistance program along with that of the county for first-time homebuyers. A certain income level would have to be met, and once again, upon sale of that home, that money would be returned back to the fund and be replenished. This will allow our young families, including buying condominiums or townhouses, which were not allowed previously, to be able to afford to live in the St. Charles community. So we're very proud. This is
that's like what?
Yeah,
it's something definitive.
We've been working at it for well over a year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then this month I attended DPTO, and Dr. Schloman did give a presentation to DPTO, which DPTO members should take it on this topic of the middle schools and upgrading them, changing them, and enrollments and things that just the whole breadth of the argument in about half hour. But anyway, PTOs then are to take that information to their PTOs and disseminate it, you know, with the people that want to go to their meetings also. So that was one thing. And the other thing is that PTO did report, it's kind of good for us to know, is that most of the PTOs, their dues were down a great deal this year, 20, 30, 40%. They were talking about that before you had come in. And they think that a lot of it had to do with dues being paid. I'm not a peer online anymore, so the dues being paid as part of the registration fees, but they were on a different page, and they just made it difficult for parents. And so a lot of them are actually kind of really, really going to be hampered this year in their activities. And they don't have the kinds of things that they used to be. Back-to-school nights where you could sit around and do the tables and things like that. So our PTOs are quite concerned. I think they've talked with, who was there? Mr. Blaney was there and was aware of the problem.
Right. It's because it was switched to an online system. It was the health of Mr. Chapman. I might be able to speak to this more. Mm-hmm. It was an issue with commingling funds. Yes.
Right. And it's yeah.
Yeah. So the difficulty was that the support members understand is if you have them pay online, which more and more of our parents are doing, is that trying to separate out what's PTO dollars and what's, in the past, what they do is they write two checks, PTO check, and we collect them both and then just hand the PTO check over. Now we're actually collecting the funds and then have to transfer the funds over to the PTOs, and that became a little bit awkward in regards to kind of how to do that. I think we're going to, Seth and I are going to take a look at see if we can find a different way to help support the PTOs at the same time without us getting into the problem of commingling funds of the PTO and ours as well. So we'll try to do that. But that is the reason, I think, primarily is that I don't know so much it was that they're paying electronically, is that they're paying electronically and then they would have to actually make two payments, two separate payments now.
Correct.
And where before they would just make one. Is that right?
That is right.
So as I sat there, I understood the problem, but not exactly the logistics of what they were talking about. So, however, it's a significant problem for our PTOs, mm-hmm. which support our schools so greatly, and I'm concerned. They were very concerned they won't be able to do the things for students and teachers that they've been able
to
do.
So I got really nervous about commingling funds, so I said, no, we weren't going to do it. I did not realize the implications would be is that the PTOs would lose substantial amounts of revenue because of that. So
I'm sure it can be worked on.
We'll try to work out something.
But they're very
concerned.
Well, so I did want to report that to the board members.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
This is Illinois, after all, and commingling funds and stuff. I don't know, it just doesn't work very well at that time. So.
Now we will move on to our four action items. May I have a motion to for the approval of the ATS and our work authorization form?
So moved.
Mr. Mannheim is
second.
And Mr. Gaffney is a second. Dr. Schulman, is there any presentation?
We don't have a presentation on this, but I do. This essentially authorizes the architects to go forward with the design of Redland. It doesn't do any more than that, so it doesn't commit the board to a bid. It doesn't, you know, at some point or another, they will, out of that process, will come back to the Board of Education with a bid, at which that you will have to approve that. Through that process. This will include teachers, this will include other staff members as well in the design process, Now, one of the things is that we struggled with a lot is that having this kind of be a two-step process as to doing Redling first and then doing Thompson later. Partly, this is a two-step process is because the desire was to try to complete Redling this summer. Reason that we were trying to complete Redling this summer is with the major reason was that get the lunchroom expanded so that we can accommodate the number of students that we need to accommodate without going to nine lunches. We currently, as Steve knows, Mr. Morrow's here, is that we have 9 lunches right now at Redling. We start at 10:37 or something. 10:12.
That's
it gets
lunch.
Earlier every time I hear it. So, and we go to 1:38 in order to get the lunchroom, in order to get that accomplished. So that's one of the things that we tried to get there and felt like we wanted to get that part of the project done earlier. So it does feel awkward, and I acknowledge that. So the question what came up is, could we push this back a month and have this be part of the overall project a month from now when you're voting on the... And the answer to that is kind of, maybe. It really tightens up substantially, and Mr. Mannheim would probably know this, substantially the bidding design development process that would go on during this in order to get this done during the summer. What we don't want to do is have it partway done and have no wall on the end of the cafeteria and have to have tarps there at the end. So you want to try to get as early as possible to get people and contractors in there and staged and so that they're ready to go. So I just want everybody to understand we struggled with this a lot, trying to put this in a two-step process. Didn't feel too comfortable with it, but at the same time, if the board's desire is to push to get this accomplished this summer, we push it off a year as an example, then we're still going to have to next year, if you would go forward with the rest of the project, still have to have 9 or 10 lunches or whatever we would have to have there in order to make this all work. It's less so on the science labs. The science labs could be a year from now. It doesn't change the number of science labs. It just changes the content in the science labs. And so it's mostly that lunchroom area and trying to get that accomplished. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that helps mm-hmm. our board members understand.
When would construction start?
Construction would actually start probably the day that school mm-hmm. the kids leave. So if we would actually be staged, and they would stage pre-kids leaving with trailers and those kind of things, and construction would literally start the day in order to get it all accomplished the day the kids leave.
Yeah, usually mobilization happens that May, get in there, put your construction fences up, the trailers, everything ready to go, and day kids are out, they can start working.
So that's kind of when
they're and I guess my point was they wouldn't be doing anything during the school year.
Not on this project, other than potentially, they could be doing some stuff outside in that parking lot behind the where you'd be, they could be doing stuff out there that wouldn't, it's not going to impact anybody because it's really a lunchroom. So even if they were, trenching or doing something out there, it really isn't. But inside the building, no, but outside the building, certainly, if they can get in there earlier, because obviously the more they can get done, the less weather-dependent these projects become.
Mm-hmm.
So it is difficult, I understand that, and that's one of the things that we have to kind of work through. Again, you're not committing to the project until you actually vote on the... You're committing to the architect's design, and you're committing to giving them dollars to do this design. You're not actually committing to the project, finally, until you're actually quote on the bids.
Can we talk a little bit about the alternative bids for Norris Rec Center, please?
Sure. So there are anywhere from 2.5 estimated to 2.8 estimated dollars of deferred maintenance, for lack of a better term. I'm not sure why those deferred maintenance occurred. I suspect over time, over a number of years, over the last 20 years, the Norris Rec Center often looked at the district as assuming that we were going to be doing things, and the district often looked at the Norris Rec Center and said they were going to be doing things, and nobody did some of these things. So one of the things is that this Board of Education stepped in and did some things on the pool to the tune of about $1.3 million. I don't know what that was, 4 or 5 years ago now, in order to kind of fix some things. But there are deferred dollars on tuck pointing, roofing, and about, I'm trying to remember now, 4 years ago, somebody helped me, I think, is when we had recognized that there was water leaking, and once we pulled away some of the sheeting on the racquetball court, we recognized that there was mold in the building. And so that part of the building is still sitting there. So there'll be the recommendation was that we obtain, for lack of better words, real, legitimate, however you want to do it, bids on this project. Again, you can choose not to do them or you can choose to do them. I don't, but we have estimates as to what we believe the cost might be. So part of it was to get bids as an alternate bid. But secondly is that we felt like there was a really good chance that we might get some savings by connecting this with the Red Link project. It won't be as time sensitive as the Red Link project will be. So in other words, they wouldn't have to accomplish it in that same time period. But so you could do, you know, some of this stuff while kids were in school at East, depending on the project that was involved. But they would be it would be savings from the standpoint of staging of the equipment and everything for a contractor. You know, Mr. Mannheim and I had a discussion. He thought was maybe as much as 20% savings, because once you stage and do all that stuff, you have that potential to, you know, you've got that cost already incurred, so you might as well just go ahead and make the project bigger. Whether you choose to do that or not, I don't know. Final thing also is that there's an alternate A and an alternate B. Alternate A is actually just kind of fixing the racquetball court, not necessarily making it a racquetball court, but not changing anything. I think I got this right. And alternate B is actually tearing the racquetball courts out and off, and essentially putting a metal building in place that would be much more flexible for the park district and for using. So it kind of just becomes a shell of a building, and then what happens inside that is up to the users of the building. So that's an alternate A and an alternate B within that. So that's only purpose was to try, one, to save dollars, and two, to get some true numbers as to what we believe the cost of associated with that. Whether you choose to do that as a board going forward, that's up to you.
So the board will get both of those options and will choose.
Pardon?
We'll see both of those options and choose from two options.
You'll see that. Assuming we get appropriate bids on that, you'll see both an alternate A and an alternate B, and you as a board can choose that. Or you can choose none. Mm-hmm. You could leave them with the currently the way it is. You don't have to do this project right now. The objective was to see whether or not we could get it cheaper if we did do it.
I should say, too, that was contacted by Booster, people at North, who feel that they really need some additional indoor space. They really have not very much at North High School, and they would be interested in being able to use more space in the district for, you know, drill team, indoor practice, and this building could be an answer for North High School. So it's very directly could impact the school district.
To interrupt. So North, this would be then both East and North students would be using.
Can I step in on this?
This is a facility that would be run by the Park District right now. I don't see this as being a North and East used facility. I see this as being a community used facility, and so it's not that big. We're not talking about, we're talking about replacing the racquetball courts with a space that's differently. So I don't want to imply to anybody that this will be the answer to North's issue in regarding space, because I don't see that as being that solution.
Okay, then I just took that leap then, knowing that just recently they've had that conversation about
flexible space, too, is something that the Norris Rec Center looked at, you know, over the last couple of years, is something that could be used, and you know, because right now the racquetball courts, they're size A, and you can only do so much in there because they're load bearing. We can't do anything else. So the purpose was we already have to do this deferred maintenance. Some of that deferred maintenance could be offset by doing just tearing it down. We would do some of the tuck point or some of those things. It gives the park district more of a flexible space to run more programs versus just stuck in this little box. Right now, there's three of them that we're not even using at all.
Mm-hmm. I like looking going forward, if this ever becomes property that the district is using again, to have as much flexibility built into this as we possibly can have, so that there's different options and opportunities for us as a district to use that facility going forward. Redoing racquetball courts in my mind.
Right. Well, and going back to that, if the answer is the park district wasn't there and it was no longer a community facility, then certainly it could be used by student groups and that to do that. I want to, though, the comment was made about long-range plan. I want to point out to everybody that I recognize that they're short on space, but there soon will be many less students at North and at East. And so I don't know that it would behoove us to be adding space at our high schools right now, long range, when we are going to have many less students. I get the pressure right now, but 4 or 5 years from now, much less pressure, given our enrollment declines that are coming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
And I just had one more statement. I was just wondering, with the Redling improvements or the increase to the cafeteria, I just want to put it out there. If there's any other need that could fill, meaning how so many of our other schools have cafetoriums or anything like that, I'd really like to see that we flesh any of that out. Not looking to spend more money, but if we're there doing it, that we really look at any possible need, because we won't be going back there.
Yeah, so the principals will be meeting tomorrow with the architects, assuming you say go. That's partly what Mr. Moral and we'll be talking about is that he's already brought that up as well, as to have that be some more flexible space. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be really fancy, but it certainly mm-hmm. could be used for community events and for district events as well. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, he would like to look at changing the locker room configuration, not necessarily adding a lot locker room, but changing configuration so it makes it easier to supervise as you put kids into the building and you learn to kind of, it's not as easy to supervise what you thought it was going to be. And so that's part of what we all have a discussion with as well at Redling. So.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
We have the 9 lunch periods. By the expansion, is it 4? Did I hear 4?
We'll hopefully get down to 3.
3.
We'll go from 9 lunch periods down to 3.
That's wonderful.
So lunch might actually mean lunch.
Yes, good. Instead of breakfast and
brunch
snack.
You can put as many as 500 kids in there, so in theory you could feed the whole grade level at once. That complicates things for other reasons, but certainly you would go from 9 to 3, maybe 5, and you would give them the more appropriate lunch hours.
Okay, good. Okay. Nothing else heard? Mrs. Retcher, will you take the roll, please?
Okay. Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
No.
Mrs. Perrett?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hill?
Yes. Motion carries. May I have a motion for the approval of the MetLife dental contract?
So moved.
Second. McNally. And second from Mr. Sperling. I think we heard Mr. Manheim's conversation about it. Does anyone have any questions?
For the record, how much money will the district be saving with moving
plans? Mr. Moore could give you a better number than I can.
The health fund will save about $100,000 a year.
Good.
Yeah, good. That was good to hear. Any other questions? Not heard, Ms. Ratchford.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrett?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Let me get down. Hold on. It's a long contract here. Okay. May I have a motion on the approval of the East High School foreign travel for 2017-18?
So moved.
Second.
I'm sorry, second. So that was Ms. Linkemer.
All right. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter to me.
Who did the second? Was that me or Mr. McNeely?
Yeah, I thought you were telling me somebody else seconded that idea. I didn't know.
That's all right. Okay, so it looks like they're going to Iceland. What do you think about that? Any questions or comments or concerns? Or
how do we get tickets to
join? Yeah, really. I believe they're looking for chaperones. That's what I've been told.
Six students.
Well, I hope they get their requisite number of students. Do we know how many they need?
20, what?
Tracy.
Yeah,
Tracy Truex.
How many?
Hi.
Put this together.
I think for right now, it's 6-1, so 6 students for every 1 chaperone.
Now, how many students?
How many students do you need to run the field trip? In other words, is there a concern
there
that you won't get it?
Well, I hope we'll get it, but as of right now, there was no minimum number, per se, from the organization that I'm working with. That has never come up. So I think as long as we get our 6, we're shooting for more than that, then the trip will run.
Well, I hope a lot of kids take the advantage that's offered.
Yeah,
how many of us have ever been to Iceland? None of us.
I was there on a stopover once.
Oh, he stopped over.
One plane and then to another.
Well, thank you very much. Anything else from the board members? Nothing heard. So, Mrs. Retcher, would you take that vote?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perot?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkman?
Yes.
Mr. Manhunt?
Yes.
Yes, the motion carries. Next, may I have a motion on the proposed district calendar for 2017-18? Anybody make that motion?
So moved.
Mr. Mannheim, and a second?
Second.
McNally. Okay. So it looks like we have a calendar that is done so early. I thought it was this year's calendar. Are there any... Does the administration have anything to say? It seems like it's the same format that we've been doing.
Pretty much the same format. We align again with the neighboring district, so exception being Batavia is off by a little bit, but Geneva's will have the same calendar. Caitlin and Houston will have the same calendars as well as the starting end time, so it'll align with, especially for our students that are in Mid Valley and or the Fox Valley Career Center.
Good. I'm sure people will be really happy to see this early for those that need to make early plans. Any other?
The one concern I have is if we're going to be doing construction at Redling, are we going to have an assurance from the construction company that we're not going to be putting tarps up instead of walls on that?
Yeah, so the plan for us is that we would have some financial penalties for them if they don't complete by within the dates. So that's important for us to do that. So,
Ms. Retcher, would you take the vote, please?
Mrs. Perot?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. The motion carries. And our last action item is a resolution memorializing National Principals Month, October 2016. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. McNally, Ms. Linkman. We are not going to read that resolution today because it is a long whereas and wherefore type argument document, but I thought it was important that since it's a state National Principals Month, that we really recognize our principals because they work long and hard hours, and they are the unsung heroes of our district. I mean that really from the heart. And the board is very proud of its group of principals, and we know you do a great job, and we're happy that you're
here.
And they did. So I'm directing it all right to you. Who else? Yes, see, they all
left.
Nope.
Okay, Charlie Kirk was here.
Charlie was there.
He laughed.
Well, you can tell him if you would. I hope the word gets out. So actually, it is that motion, and does anyone else have anything they'd want to say on that point? No?
Good. Great group of principals here.
We heartily agree. That's good to hear. Would you take that vote, please?
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perot?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. Motion carries. Last voting item is the consent agenda. Is there any item that any board member would like to remove? for discussion? None heard? May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as written? This is Mr. Mannheim. Thank you. And Mrs. Linkler is the second. Is there anything?
I just one quick question. I'm going to have to abstain on the personnel report. Should I have that pulled so I can vote on the rest of it?
I think this probably suffices.
Yeah, so that's fine. Okay. So if you want to pull the personnel report, vote it out separately, we're happy to do that because Mr. McNally has a conflict on one of those.
Okay, because that's a specific item. So actually, there's a motion to pull the personnel report.
Yes.
Mr. McNally, you have that motion? Right. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Mannheim, thank you. So that is pulled. Is there anything else? Nothing is, no one else. So I will.
The first one. First.
Yeah, we'll go back to the original consent agenda. Did we have first and seconds
yes,
on that?
First
Mr. McNally and Ms. Linkler.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take the vote, please?
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkerman?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Pratt?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we have a motion, kind of out of order, but we have a motion to pull the personnel report, so I think we'll just take that vote.
Well, you need a motion to approve the personnel report.
Okay, a motion to approve the personnel. Mr. Oh, yeah, that's true. That was just to.
So moved.
I can't do that either.
So, Mrs. Linkler and Mrs. Pira. And then we will take the vote.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Linkler?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Abstain.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Sewell?
Yes. Motion carries. The last things in our packet are the Freedom of Information requests. The near final for the 15-16, let's say the June 30th, 2016 financial report. Anything you want to say on that? Or it's just for information? And then the current financial report as of for August 2016. And then the Mid Valley Financial Report for August 2016. Okay, those are out there. Is there any new business for the board?
This is not necessarily new business, but I would just remind the board and everyone else that we have two very exciting high school football teams. We have two games left, so St. Charles is looking for an undefeated season. So if you want to see some good high school football, Friday nights, it's here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've been to a game, and the kids have been great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've the enthusiasm and the numbers and the excitement and the behaviors.
I think East is ranked number 7 in 8A, and North is 10th or 11th in 7A.
Very good.
So both doing very well.
Thank you. That's one of those things we should always celebrate. Good
luck.
Forward
to having a trophy.
Yeah, right. A lot of football players in this room for a state trophy.
You may board members know this, but interestingly enough, as many state titles as we've won, we've never won a state title in football or basketball in St. Charles, ever. So that's kind of interesting.
Won a lot of them in soccer.
Yeah, a lot of them in soccer, a lot of them in other sports. But
volleyball,
never,
swimming.
Volleyball, others, but we've never won one in football or basketball.
Well, I didn't know that, so that is really good. That should give you even more reason.
It's going to be a remarkable year.
Yeah. Thank you for that. You're right. That's good to know. May I have a motion to adjourn to the closed session by roll call vote for the purposes of student discipline?
So moved.
Mr. McNally?
Second.
And Mr. Sperling's a second. And may I have... Oh, so we're adjourned.
And
a roll call vote.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. Motion carries.